book in the Old Testament with very powerful statements and exhortations. Deuteronomy means the second law, or the law repeated. God giving his law the second time and giving another opportunity, a fresh chance to his people to hear and to respond to it. Today we're reading from chapter 6 and verses 1 to 12. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Amen. Life in a New Land. That's the title that I've chosen for a new series of sermons on Sunday morning, beginning today. We're only a month into the new millennium, and we are already aware that life in Scotland in this new 21st century will provide new challenges for Christian people, as we've seen with the Section 28 controversy. We are living in a new era and a new society in which the Christian religion and its values and standards are likely to be undermined as never before. And one other example of this, it seems to me, is the missing out of a question on religion in the census for Scotland later this year. And there is no sign that the Scottish Executive is going to listen to the call by the Parliament's Equal Opportunities Committee to add in this question and bring us into line with the United Kingdom censuses in the past and in the future. So what's the message of this? The message seems to be that religion is an irrelevance to the people of Scotland. Now, I don't want to be too negative about all the recent furore. One of the benefits of a devolved parliament is the public debating of such matters as Christian morality and the welfare of our children. And that probably wouldn't have happened if it had been entirely a Westminster matter. But the question I want to bring before you this morning is this: how are Christian people to live Christianly in the new Scotland of the 21st century, when the fundamental roots of faith and morality will be loosened? Life in a new land. And you know, that's really the theme of the book of Deuteronomy that we're going to be looking at in the next month or two. Deuteronomy is a great book, as I've said, in the Old Testament, and it's had an enormous impact upon personal religion down the ages, not least that of our Lord Jesus Christ, who quotes from Deuteronomy several times, most notably in his temptation in the wilderness. And today we look at the message of chapter 6 and Moses' words to the children of Israel. The end of verse 2, may you enjoy life, verse 3, in a land flowing with milk and honey. So life in a new land. So what are the features of this new life? I want to make 2 points from Deuteronomy 6. And here's the first feature of this life in a new land. It is life on the move. Life on the move. God's people are people on the move, and Deuteronomy is a book for those who are on the move. Now, we're all familiar with the idea of life being like a journey. A journey through the years, a journey through infancy into childhood and youth and young adulthood and then into middle age and old age. And perhaps some of us feel that old age catches up with us on this journey very quickly. At the last Kirk Session meeting, somebody reminded me that I was not getting any younger. And in fact, I'd lost my eyesight. Well, it's not quite as bad as that, but I must say it's the first home communions that I've ever had to use spectacles in the homes to read my Gideon New Testament. And with grandfather status as well, I suppose a Zimmer is the next aid I'll be ordering. The journey seems to go more quickly the older you get, and human life is a journey. But in a much more specific and particular way, I want to show you how in the Old Testament the life of God's people is set out as a pilgrimage or a journey. And Deuteronomy focuses on this. The journey begins when the children of Israel leave Egypt at the Exodus. And then in the journey they travel on through the Red Sea. And you remember how they move on to Mount Sinai, where the Ten Commandments are given. And then they travel through the wilderness, heading towards the promised land of Canaan. Now the book of Deuteronomy deals with the point in the journey where they're at the boundary line. If you could imagine, this is the boundary line of the land of Moab, and they've reached here. And over there is the promised land of Canaan, and in between runs the River Jordan. So they're at the point of moving over into the promised land. So it's really a crisis point for them. The question is, are they going to move? Or are they not going to move on? They've been in the wilderness, and now they're to move into the land of Canaan, which is a very different culture from that which they have been used to. In Canaan, it's late bronze culture, and that means it's very sophisticated and prosperous and literate, as well as being decadent and debased morally and spiritually speaking, with a pluralistic setting, that's to say plenty of religions and none. That's the land of Canaan. And it's not too unlike the land of Scotland in the 21st century. A proud and prosperous culture. And we are prosperous. Perhaps not as prosperous as Dubai, where you may have read the government has recently bought 31 Rolls Royces. And they're going to raffle them off a day at a time in a lottery during the Dubai Shopping Festival in March. Each Rolls Royce costs £158,333. But that's chicken weed compared with some of the prizes in our national lottery, isn't it? And not as big as some of the prizes offered in Britain's favourite quiz show that everybody, apparently the whole nation, wants to watch, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? How are we to move on in our journey into this new land, into our new society where there seems to be increasing greed and immorality and irreligion? How are we to move on and live Christianly? That's the question. And the question is, perhaps prior to that, will we move on? Will we move forward? Will we be willing to be witnesses for Christ in this new situation, or will we stay where we are and remain in a cozy comfort zone of personal privacy? It was time for Israel, God's people, to move. For you see, they'd got stuck where they were. In the very beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, in the first few verses, we're given a very interesting mileage chart that seems to come straight out of an ancient AA road map. Verse 2 of chapter 1 tells us that it takes 11 days to move from Mount Sinai, where the Ten Commandments were given, down to the River Jordan. Verse 3, the verse that follows, says, 40 years later, they had arrived at this place by the River Jordan, looking over to Canaan. What's Deuteronomy saying? It's saying something very clearly. An 11-day journey took 40 years. Now, I think you could probably walk from John o' Groats to Cumbernauld in 11 days. Depending on your age and stage in life, depending on your feet. Might take a bit longer, but it wouldn't take 40 years. So what's happened according to Deuteronomy? What's happened is that the people of God have stopped journeying and traveling. They've stopped moving onwards. They've settled down 40 years in the same place virtually, and I'm sure there are congregations in Scotland today that have remained where they are for 40 years. I'm sure there are individuals and congregations throughout Scotland, perhaps here this morning, those who have virtually remained in the same place for the best part of 40 years, spiritually speaking. But the call in Deuteronomy is to move on. And the book of Deuteronomy is a book about a second chance. The people had failed, but God in His mercy gives a second chance. And God is like that. He's constantly giving fresh opportunities. Why had they got stuck in their spiritual journey? Well, probably because of the two enemies which always attacked the people of Israel. Fear and unbelief. These twin enemies, always on the prowl. But now they're being told that the issues were too great for them to stand still anymore. Perhaps you read in the papers the last couple of weeks or so about a man who went into a butcher's shop and asked, "Are you a gambling man?" And the butcher said, "Yes, indeed I am." And the man looked up at a side of beef hanging from a hook in the ceiling and said, "Right, I'll bet you £50 you can't reach up and touch that meat." And the butcher declined the bet. And the man said, "But I thought you were a gambling man." And the butcher said, "Yes, but the stakes are too high." And the stakes, S-T-A-K-E-S, were too high for Israel to remain where they were any longer. It was time to move on. And is God going to give them any incentives to move on? Yes, He does. Any incentives to conquer fear and unbelief? Yes. There's a promise of blessing. Verse 3, that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord promised you. It's a promise of blessing if they move forward into the land. And that's tremendous. What does God want for His people? Let me ask you that. Think about it. What is top of God's agenda, top of His checklist, top of His specification for the lives of His people, lives of His people on the move, going forward? What is it? Is it punishment? Is it depression? Or is it blessing? Here's God in conference, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And looking about the world and seeing His people, or looking at a congregation, or looking at one of His individual children. What is it that God intends? God intends to bless you.
That's his priority. That's his prime aim. That's his plan and purpose. God wants to bless you and me and us. So to move forward, to move on, is to move into a land where there's blessing. He wants, in the words of Scripture, to give you a future and a hope. There's the first feature of this life in a new land. It's life on the move. And the second feature about this life is that it has a golden rule. God's people are on the point of moving on. So what's God's first word to them? What's God's first rule? What's the golden rule? Well, we find it in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God. So love is the first word. Love is the golden rule. And you know, the book of Deuteronomy is really a commentary on this golden rule. From beginning to end, the book spells it out. The Lord is one. That is single, unique, integrated. He is the one in the sense that we use the word, there's only one John, there's only one Gene. What is it the Ibrox faithful used to sing and chant? There's only one Super Ali. Now they sing, there's only one Super Billy, much to my grief, I'm afraid. The Lord is one, that's to say, there's only one Super God, the God of the Scriptures, the living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one Lord for His people, therefore there is only one love in His people, namely the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. The Hebrews did not mean by the heart the emotions. The emotions, according to the Hebrews, were located lower down, around about the liver and the bowels. The heart was the seat of the mind and the will and purposefulness. The heart was where you did your thinking and made your choices. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Not the best translation of the Hebrew word nephesh, which really means the whole of your inner self. The part that makes you, you, and me, me. The part that makes you special and unique. All of you in the inner self. That's what it means, as Psalm 103 makes clear. Bless the Lord, O my nephesh, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And that word is really an adverb, meaning very much. And so what is being said here is that we are to love God with all our very muchness. The grammar is poor, but the point is clear. There's no limits to loving God. That's what's being said here. We sometimes speak scornfully of those who are OTT about this, that, and the next thing. But you can never be over the top with loving God. You can never love God too much. That's what the Bible says. That's what this message is bringing. Love God. But can you command love? Perhaps you're saying, isn't love spontaneous? After all, we talk about falling in love. And we say, love is blind. To which someone might reply, yes, and marriage is a real eye-opener. Love is not merely a command to which human effort can respond. Neither is the Bible saying that if you manage to love God here and there, you're stacking up brownie points which will get you into heaven. What is being said in the Bible is that love of God is gratitude to Him. Gratitude for what He's done. And what has God done for His people? What had God done for his people Israel that they were never to forget? Verse 12. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And what happened when they were brought out of Egypt? That which they were never to forget. And not forgetting, the other way round of putting it is to remember. And 16 times in the book of Deuteronomy, they're told to remember how they were brought out of slavery and brought out of Egypt. What did it mean when they were brought out of Egypt at the Exodus time? It meant that they were redeemed and saved and delivered from terrible bondage and from a terrible fate. And how were they brought out and how were they redeemed by the Lord? You remember the story, how they took the blood from a Passover lamb and sprinkled the blood over the doorposts of all their houses. And when the angel, the messenger of death, came into Egypt, the angel passed over all the houses and homes where the blood covered them. And the Passover blood points to the blood of the new covenant when Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us, to redeem us from a fate worse than death, to save us from a terrible bondage of sin, the power of Satan, the certainty of judgment, and the endlessness of hell. Do not forget what God in his love has done for you. This do in remembrance of me. Remember and be grateful to God and love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. It was time for the people to move on. And you know, the key to understanding the background to the book of Deuteronomy is found in chapter 1, verse 6, and chapter 2, verse 3, where God says, you've stayed here long enough. You've stayed here long enough. Now, that can be applied to a congregation set in its ways. It can be applied to an individual in his or her spiritual life. You've stayed here long enough. According to the Sunday Times survey and statistics, the average person will spend 14 years sitting on sofas and armchairs. That's too long for a Christian to sit. Too long to sit on the fence as well. It's time to move on. Time to move on in your relationship with God. Time to move on in worship. Coming Sunday by Sunday to hear the Lord's Word. I've been called by the congregation to teach God's Word Sunday by Sunday, but you can't hear it if you're not here. Time to move on in our service and commitment. For example, to stand up and be counted in this matter of section 28. It's time for ordinary folks to say what they feel and to express their concerns. Time to move on as far as some habits are concerned and certain temptations are concerned. Time to move on before we come to that crossing of the Jordan River in death and go to meet God. Today the golden rule has been proclaimed. Love God in Christ. So, love God with heart and soul and strength. Start loving God, perhaps in a new way. But do it now, for God's sake. And for your sake, and for Scotland's sake. May God bless his word to us. Let's pray.